Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah. I am your host, and I am super excited to be doing this show and praising God and Jesus, and all glory to God above for bringing me the opportunity to do this show. And we're going to start off the hour with a prayer and then a song that I picked out, and I'm going to try to play different worship songs every week just to further the ministry of God and Jesus. So let's begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden.
You have no equal, now and forever.
Everybody, welcome back and beautiful Sunday morning. And I am grateful today for so many things. My job, I'm grateful for my house and, you know, having enough, right? God provides. And I am grateful to be able to do this show and try to help spread the word of God. It is sometimes a very strenuous thing for me because I'm not a person that loves to be in videos. I'm not a person that loves to be out there in general. So I kind of have resisted doing anything like this for a really long time because I just have a hard time being in the public for many reasons. But the song was by Hillsong Worship, which you can follow on YouTube. Under Hillsong Worship. I'm not familiar with the church. I'm guessing it's a pretty big church. They have 9.9 million subscribers. So I'm guessing that they have a fairly big church. But I know nothing about the church itself. And as far as me, I don't really subscribe to organized religion a lot. I have been toying with the idea of going to church and joining a church, but I do think that there's no perfect churches. And I've explored a lot of them. And I just, for me, it's a very difficult thing, right? Because I follow the Bible, but mostly I follow my relationship with God, which I think is the most important thing. And I think having a relationship with God is internal. Therefore, we're all connected to Him, and you don't necessarily need a building to go to have a relationship with God. And I honestly 100% believe that. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. And I think that's what he meant by that. And he also said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me, right? He said that in Matthew. So I am very much a big believer in having a personal relationship with God. I don't judge anybody that goes to church. I think most people that go to church are trying just to be better people. And that is my viewpoint on it. Today I'm going to talk about acts of service. And this is a very interesting subject to me from a personal perspective. I have done quite a bit of charity work, and I had a charity foundation that was dedicated to anonymous Christmas giving. And the things that I found out about it, one was that charity, even charity, can become bad. It turned into a competition between people of who could buy the most, and that's not what my charity was meant to do. My charity was meant to take some pressure off of families at Christmas. We used to help people that were, you know, not able to afford anything. There were one woman lost her husband. So we kind of, you know, tried to fill in that gap. We helped a teenager that had a very tough home life, no electricity, got into a college, straight A's. Both of his brothers died by gang violence. So we got him a computer and, you know, helped get his lights back on and helped him get hot water. And these kinds of things was what the charity was kind of geared towards. And what I found out is after it became more focused on Christmas, it turned into a competition of who can buy these kids the most things. And what I realized was that's not what this was about. So I stopped the charity because I just could not handle the greed that was going on behind the scenes. And I think greed and money are a very slippery slope. And we all get into it, right? We all have buying frenzies with something. Some people it's Amazon, some people it's makeup. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. And I don't believe in that anymore. I stopped buying from Amazon. I buy from Amazon once in a while, but it's things that I truly need, right? Like, I try not to just shop for things every time I think I need something. And it was a very hard habit to break. But that is ultimately why I stopped doing the charity. And I did help, you know, I think I helped people along the way and kind of, you know, accomplished what I set out to do in many ways. But in other ways, it was very disheartening. So I stopped doing things like that. Then I turned to blessing bags for the homeless and people in shelters, which actually was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever done. And I loved being able to give somebody that doesn't have anything something. Right now, you know, I kind of focus this towards God, and I have, you know, a meal in there, a tent, a blanket, of course, a little New Testament, and things in there that help, shelter, food, you know, whatever they need. And it's not a lot, and I can't help everybody, but I try to do things that will help. And charity is also a very interesting thing, because it does say you shouldn't ring the bell of charity, right? But charity inspires people to do charity. So it is a slippery slope, right? Like, your intention needs to be there. Matthew 25 through 35 through 40, which is, you know, most of what this message is based on, says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king won't reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And there's also, when he's talking to, I can't remember who he's talking to, but he said, you know, "You did not feed me, you did not clothe me. Lord, Lord, I do not know you," right? Because you did not help me. And so I think a lot of my current thoughts on acts of service are geared towards helping people that actually really need it. Because there is a thin line between those who will not help themselves and those who can't help themselves. And this is one thing that I really learned doing my own charity. And I will say this, do good. Do not worry about money. God will provide. If that person needs something and you're there to give it to him, you will find a way to do it. It doesn't cost much more to give somebody a piece of bread out of your own loaf, or give away a coat that you no longer wear, right? It doesn't cost much to spare a bowl of soup to an elderly person who can't eat. And actually going to visit that person when they're really down on their luck and just removed from the world. I never appreciated elderly people until I moved into a 55 and older community. And I see the loneliness and the stuff that goes with that. So also, giving renews the spirit, right? It doesn't cost anything to smile at your brother or speak a kind word to somebody. And these things are often underestimated in the world, right? But positivity is so important. It's so important on a daily basis. Sometimes people just need somebody to talk to. And if you can be that person for them, it means a lot right? Because maybe they can't figure out, or they feel desperate and lost, and they need somebody to hold on to that understands or just kind of feels like, hey, somebody's here and I'm not totally alone. And even though they're never alone in the kingdom of God, they may not know that, right? Because it takes time to develop these things. It takes time to understand that God is there. God will provide. And we are all creators. We are all in our minds able to change somebody's world. And that is a critical, critical thing. God renews the spirit. Giving renews the spirit. It cures depression. Right? If you are feeling down, the best thing you can do for somebody is give. And I'm telling you, I've done it. I've been down, and then I've gone to do something for somebody, and it has cured my depression. And why is that? Because you have a frequency in your life that belongs to God. And whenever you're giving to that frequency and you're giving to that light, it amplifies it. And the Bible says that. We have to take the Bible. The Bible for me, and I'll do an episode on what I believe about the Bible, but it is parables, and it's parables for a reason. There are things that you come to know the longer that you follow God, and the longer that you believe in God, the more you know. And I still learn things all the time. I'm so imperfect, and I try and try and try, and all I want to do is serve God, right? All I want to do is serve God. One thing I realized, and I'll talk about this at another time, was that I wanted to be the person, right? Which is not glorifying God. It's not about me. It's about God. And that was revelation this weekend. But so Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." That is extremely difficult to do. It is, there are people that test you every day. There are people that you meet in your daily life that you just don't like. And it's hard to look at that person and say, I love you, and really accept that person. And the thing that I find funny is like praying for people, right? Because I used to be like, and when I was young, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to pray for them because they're so misled. But that is not the way to pray for somebody, right? You should really be praying, one, for yourself to have more insight into what you're doing to make that relationship difficult, and also praying genuinely for them to find a way to get along with you, or to find a way to get past whatever difficulties you're having in life, right? Because if you pray it, it's done. Jesus swore that to us. So, and the kingdom of God is kind of like a community of people, right? We're all poor in spirit on this planet. Not all of us, but a lot of us are poor in spirit on this planet. And when we give to each other, it's like giving God's gifts, right? Because everything is owned by God. We own nothing on this planet. And I know that we're having, you know, arguments over land, and we're having arguments over oil, and we have arguments over all these things on earth, and countries, and, you know, immigration, and all of these things. But truly, God owns everything. So if it's God's, one, you can't give it away. Right? It's a gift that he lets you give to somebody else. And two, nobody owns anything. And while I understand the need for borders, and I understand the need for countries, and there's a lot that goes into that subject, which I'll do on a subscriber talk. My subscriber talks are going to be more about, you know, the revelations that I receive about what's going on right now. I do see things that are happening without really understanding why. I've never understood why I see the stuff that I do. I see patterns that other people don't, and they always come true, right? You know it's from God if it happens, and mine happen regularly. There are times I will tell somebody something, and then somebody will go home and find it, or something will happen to reiterate it. But also with world events, it's happened. And I try to stay humble. I'm trying to stay in the focus of God completely, because that is the only way that I get through this life, to get to be with Him, is to stay humble and not embellish anything and not speak any untruths, and just absolutely stay with the impressions that I have. And, you know, so far it's been okay. Matthew 5:44 says, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." And this is, you know, I feel like everybody borrows money from somebody and you're like, okay, it's just a loan, but should it be, right? Because if you have enough to give away, maybe you should just help somebody. I don't know. I don't have the money to help people in that way right now, but I think I would, and I think I'm going to change that. In fact, I did change that with my son. When he needs money, I give it to him most of the time. There are times that he is not great with money, which we are working on, but he, you know, when he needs to eat, I will not withhold money from him to eat, and I will not withhold money from him to get to his job. But it is a fine line, because you have to teach responsibility to your children too. Giving is at the heart of God's heavenly plan for us, right? Like, He wants us to be kind to each other. He wants us to give to each other. And I honestly, if I could sell everything and start a community that was based on the Essene way of living, I would do it. Because I honestly feel like communal living is better for people, because there's no possessions, right? We are all trapped in this world of possessions right now, and it's scary how much money I spent. And that's all they want you to do. And the funniest story that I have about this is that I was a prepper. And when I tell you I was a prepper, and I wasn't just prepping for the apocalypse, I was prepping for world events, or, you know, nuclear war or hurricanes, whatever the event was, earthquakes, I was determined to have everything. So I would buy, I spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars prepping. I have fire skills, I can make houses, I can do all these things because I studied for a really long time. But what I realized is that's fear. And with God, you should have no fear, right? So He was like, stop buying stuff. So I did. And I was like, you know what? This is my plan. This is not God's plan. So you have to be careful about whether it's your plan or whether it's God's plan. Money is a very slippery slope. And Jesus famously said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. The problem is that money is addictive. It is the root of all evil. I honestly believe that. I have concerns about even tithing at this point in my life. And it's not that I don't want to give money to people doing good. I absolutely do. My concern is that, you know, how do you know where that money goes? And there are churches that fund their missionaries and things like that. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think trying to spread the word of God could take money, just based on advertising and stuff. But I also believe that if God wants you to succeed, you will. So if God wants my ministry to succeed, it will succeed. Now, I don't think that that will happen overnight. It could, but I don't think it will. For me, this is about walking a path of faith and just trying to reach one person. If one person listens to this show and finds God, that's enough for me. That's enough. I don't need anything more than that. I do not believe that people that tithe are bad. And I don't think churches are bad for tithing, for requiring tithes. I do think that I question whether somebody should be buying a private jet. I do question that because that could feed thousands of people. And the maintenance on them alone is insane. And I'm not knocking them. I mean, maybe that gift came from God. Who am I to judge? But God tends to want simple things for people. And it's difficult for a rich person to enter the gates of heaven. And I wonder what people that are wealthy think about that. Like, I wonder if that's a motivating factor for people that are wealthy. Do they do a lot of good? My observation is that a lot of people, a lot of churches, stay inside their walls when they're giving. And I'm not sure that that was the message that Jesus sent. In my mind, he always sat with tax collectors and sinners, and he didn't come to save the righteous. So churches that are giving to the righteous, are they really reaching outside their walls? And I don't know that they are. There are very explicit examples of churches that do that. The Church of Latter-day Saints does that. So does Jehovah's Witnesses. They also go outside their church to testify. But I wonder how much of that is actually helping people outside the churches. Like, I wonder how much of that goes to food kitchens or to help home people that are without a home, and to help people that are cold. And I don't know what that answer is, but I have a feeling that a lot of the help goes to the poor in their own church, which I'm not denouncing that at all. I think you should help the people that are in your church. But I also feel like Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous. I came for the sinners. Right? So it is a question of mine that I'm still praying about. And I don't for the life of me understand why a minister requires a mansion. But again, it's not my judgment. It is just a question. Are you living God's life or are you living your own? And how important is money to you if you would spend that much on a house? I don't know. For me, I would never spend that much money on a house. I mean, if I could start a ministry and make a ton of money, I would devote my life to helping people, I think. And the funny thing about this is, if you look at the poor in this country and the world, they give a lot to each other. So poor people, I know people, many people who don't have the money and they struggle every week, but they're grateful for what they have. And then when a tragedy happens, they give what little they have to help that person out of the tragedy, right? So I feel like wealthy people give to organizations, poor people give to each other. And that's what I feel. I mean, we echoed that in North Carolina. Right? We echoed it. It was absolutely apparent that the people that were going to help were these small business owners and people, their next door neighbors that were going out there donating stuff. And there were corporations that donated too. I don't mean to admonish anybody, but what I'm saying is we need to really look at what we're doing in our daily lives to help, because we do help. I have so many coats that I never wear and they sit in my closet. They could be helping somebody, right? I have leftover food for days. My cabinet is full of food and I was super stressed out this week because I'm like, what am I going to eat? Like I have no, you know, I don't have enough money to go to the grocery store this week. And then I realized, I looked in my cabinet and I'm like, I have so much food. There are people that do with way less than I have. And here I am complaining because I don't know how I'm going to go to the store this week. So it's a testament to the fact that you can give. You can give to people. You don't wear every shirt in your closet and you don't wear every pair of shoes. And collecting stuff is just stuff. It is not required for your daily living, right? It is not required. You have stuff that you can give to the homeless, that you can help. You can go out and just visit with an elderly person for a day. And that would be helpful. That would give them hope. It would give them company. And I will say that not all churches are like that with the mansions and the jets. But there are many churches that are. I believe that our world is very, very skewed and we often don't appreciate what we have, right? It took me so long to appreciate what I had. And I, you know, I get a job and I'm a nurse, so I would get a job and I would be like, within a day, like, oh, I don't like this job. I need another job. But I have a job. It's an easy job. I make a good wage. It's something that I love to do. But just because one thing doesn't go my way, all of a sudden I'm like, I need to find another job. Well, do I? I don't think that I do. Kindness comes from within. And kindness is what ignites the spark of the divine. And I believe that giving also ignites that spark. It's why you feel good when you do good, right? When you give something to somebody or you pay the person behind you in line's coffee bill or you give to a homeless person, you feel this feeling inside that is hard to replicate in any other way. And it kind of goes back to what I believe about love, right? Because love can't be bought, it can't be sold. You can't use anything to fill the void of love. Love is love. And there's only one feeling like it in the world. And you can't replicate that based on anything false. It's absolutely true. Kindness is the same way. Kindness is one of those things that when you do it, it feels so good inside. But the catch with kindness is, it also feels good to the other person, right? You feel good. It reminds them of the good in people. So you have a two-way spark going on. This is divine inspiration in its complete form. And there are other ways to get that spark, but I do believe that, you know, it is absolutely a divine gift from God to be able to give and love people. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love, right? Gosh, I love that. Matthew, my favorite chapter of the Bible, 6:1-4 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Now, I'm talking about the fact that I've had charities and I've had things, but the difference is when I do things, I don't announce it to everybody, right? Like I try. There was a time that I did because I truly believe that giving inspired other people to give. And I still believe that's true, but I also believe it's a slippery slope. At what point does it become about you and not about God and not about even the other person? It's a very slippery slope. So just let your heart be full and don't tell anybody. Right? Then you have this knowledge that you've helped somebody, and you have this knowledge that you listened to somebody. And you don't need reinforcement from somebody else saying, oh, that was so good. You're such a good person, right? We all want to be a good person. We all want to be seen as a good person. But I feel now on this journey that I don't need that reinforcement anymore because I have that reinforcement from God. So don't announce your acts of charity. Do it privately, do it anonymously. And think about this, right? So when you give something to somebody, there's always that awkwardness because they know they need something and you've given it to them. And now they feel obligated to say thank you, right? Which is kind of embarrassing because, oh, I couldn't get it myself. Somebody else had to give it to me. If you do it anonymously, they don't have to worry about all that awkwardness. They don't have to worry about saying thank you. They can thank God, and that's where the glory is, right? With them being able to thank God and just say, you know what? I don't need you to thank me because God gave me the ability to give this to you. And that's all there needs to be. They don't even need to know your name. They don't need to know what you look like. They don't need any of that. Just do it. Give a word. Give a blanket. Give a house. I mean, that's hard, right? It's hard to give a house right now. But there's no obligation on their part to say thank you to you. And the more I start to delve into this subject of charity, the more I believe that it should be silent, right? One of the reasons that I don't do videos is because I don't ever want it to be about me. I want it to be about God. And I'm not putting down anybody that's able to do videos. It's just not my ministry, right? Like, it's not my way. And I'm not saying they're bad for doing that because I follow Kanoi and I love Kanoi and she's very comfortable with being on screen and she delivers a great message and I love her and I love her sermons and I love her studies, right? Like, she's Heart Dive with Kanoi on YouTube. Heart Dive is amazing and I love to listen to her. I do daily Bible study with her and it has been such a growth period for me because I was able to really delve in and study. Let your heart, though, let your heart be for the poor and the low in spirit because they're the people that need it, right? It is a great thing to be able to give to people. It's a great thing. But do it silently. Do it the way that Jesus said you should do it, without banging cymbals or letting people know. Do it for the people that are downtrodden, that are lost. It is great to give to your brothers and sisters, and I'm not telling you to stop that, but give to the people that aren't your brothers and sisters. Give to the people that really need the word of God in their lives. Right? That's the message today. I hope that you got something out of that. I know sometimes I can drown on about the same message, but it's an important message. Acts of service are incredibly important. And I think that we all should strive to get back to our brothers and sisters. And yeah, it is a tough thing to walk that line of charity and not make it about you, right? Because really, at the end of the day, everything is about God. Everything is about God. It is not about us. It's about God. So remember that when you give, and remember who you're giving to. Absolutely help take care of your brothers and sisters, but also reach outside yourself. Go outside your comfort zone. Help somebody who never expected you to help them. The feeling's different. It's different. It is absolutely divine. So that's it. We're going to say a quick prayer, and I'm going to play another song. And I will see you next week. Thank you for joining me. If you have listened to the podcast, I really appreciate it. I am so nervous about doing this, but I really want to help spread the word of God. And I feel it in my heart and always have. So thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today and helping me spread your word and give glory to you. You are everything in our lives, and thank you for your son, Jesus, so that we may go to heaven through him. We believe and we have faith in you, and we trust your plans. Help us to give to people that need it. Help us to see the poor and the downtrodden and say, maybe we can help. Because truly, that is doing your work. Help us spread the word of God and stay faithful in our own lives to doing good. We pray these things in your name. Amen. And I'm going to play one last song here. It's by Phil Wickham called Battle Belongs. And you can find him on YouTube as well. And I will see you next week. Bye.
When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing impossible for you. Shadow, you win every battle.
nothing can stand against the power.